and God performs that thing for you. The devil gets upset, and sometimes you got some, like I said, you got some haters out there. They don't like it either. They want to see you do bad. You know, it's a shame, but there's people out there like that. And so it grieved the devil. It grieved them exceedingly, it said. It exceedingly grieved them to see that this one man, Jesus, to come and see about us. And man, I'm so grateful. Whoever chose, picked that song, that old song, what was it? There to my heart was the blood. I said, Lord, I love them old. You ain't by yourself, Pastor. Oh, I can have me a good time off them old songs, man. I'm like, well, I looked, I said, Derek, did you? Brittany said, no, Jack. I said, Lord, get some more of those. those hymns, ain't they? You know? Yeah. Man, I love those hymns. But, you know, that one all slow and draggy, and you know, but man, it just does something to me. You know, it would do something to you too, and you listen to what they're saying. Yes, yes, it does. So there to my heart was the blood applied. The blood was applied to your heart too. That's why you're sitting here again on this Sunday morning. Heavenly Father God, I thank and praise you, Lord God, as always, God. I thank you, Lord, for giving me the chance, God, the opportunity. It is a privilege, Lord God, to stand before your people, God, in the stead of your precious angel of this church, our pastor, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for allowing me to do so, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that which you have given me, that which you have shown me, Lord, help me, God, today by the Holy Ghost to share it and show it with your people. Hearing this word, Father God, the word is rich and it's full, Lord God, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, direct me, lead and guide me, God. Order my steps this morning, God, by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Give God a praise this morning. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. Going back to Nehemiah 2nd chapter, verse 11, but I'm going to be preaching out of the teaching, whatever I'm going to be doing out of chapter 3. But I want to lay this foundation, you know. And so after the enemy was upset that there come a man, Nehemiah come seeking the welfare of the children of Israel. He says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. Here it is. He's saying that, you know, God had put some things in his heart and he had a few people with him, you know, but he didn't disclose any of those things that God put in his heart. Sometimes you just got to keep whatever God gives you and just go forth with it. But he had a few men that were with him. And he said, and I went out by the night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the Dun Port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was up under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. Here it is. He said he was so bad there that even the donkey or whatever he was riding up on, camel, whatever it was that he was on, he said it couldn't even pass. So he had to get off his transport and make it by feet. You know, sometimes, you know, things are so bad, you have to make it on your own. You have to struggle through the mess that you're in, that you're facing, and just go on anyhow. Your car can break down, your bike can be in disarray, your transportation might not be acting right, but you just got to move on. You got to press on anyway. And he said, so he returned, and the rulers knew not whether I went or what I did, neither had I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. He didn't tell nobody. He kept it to himself. It's hard sometimes to keep things to yourself when God show you something and give you something. You know, me, myself, I like to just go and tell it. You know, I mean, because it's good. But when God tell you, when you just feel like you need to keep it in. You know, because it's going to be a great work that God is going to do inside of you and for you and for somebody else. He said, then I said unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the walls of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But Sanballat, and here he is again, Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it. They laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, no right, no memorial in Jerusalem. He let them know, the God of the heavens is going to prosper us. You have no right, no portion. They have no business in what they was going to do for God. And so here it is, the kingdom, the temple, Jerusalem, the walls are crushed in. And he said the gates were burned down. And so over here in chapter 3, it says the builders of the wall. So the first thing that they start building were the gates. And I read this and read this for years. I was telling this brother Joe this morning, I said, I've read and read. I start off with chapter 1, chapter 2, because I had a little understanding of it. But I would always skip over chapter 3. Because I just didn't understand what the word was talking about these gates. I'd always go over to chapter 4, because chapter 4 is real good and you have some understanding, because he was there to revive the people, get them back going. That's what Nehemiah was doing. He's going back to revive his folk. Come on, it's time to build. And that's what God is telling us today too. God is trying to revive us. It's time to build. It's time to prepare. It's time to get ready, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are very few. And so I always skip chapter 3. And so the other night, about a week or so ago, I skipped the page, as Sister Harvey say, flipped the page. I flipped the page, and the Lord said, flip it back. And I started reading it, and the Lord started speaking to me. And so the first thing that they did, verse 1, it says, then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mir. They sanctify it unto the tower of Hanel. It is the first gate that they had to build up was the sheep gate. And I said, Lord, what is this sheep gate? The sheep gate was one of the gates in Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem had 12 gates, a lot of gates, you know, 12 gates. This first gate that the devil came against and burnt down was the sheep gate. The sheep gate was a gate that when they got the sheeps from outside the temple, running around in the world, all in the, not the green pasture, but out there in the mud, they filthy. That was the first gate that they had to come into the temple. That gate, when they got in that gate, when they crossed in that gate, they washed the sheeps. They got them all cleaned up so they can be sold. Y'all look at me like, what is he talking about? Ain't you a sheep? You a sheep. So the first gate that you had to go through was that sheep gate. When you came through that sheep gate, that was the first thing God had to do. He had to wash you up. He had to get you right, get your mind right, get your heart right, get yourself clean. He had to clean you up so he can use you. So that they tore down the sheep gate. And so he said, we're going to build the priest, the high priest, rose up with his brothers. And they said, we're going to build up this gate. Because we know we can't, if they get rid of this gate, can't no more sheep come through. And we know Jesus is that sheep gate. He's the door. They tried to get rid of him. The devil thought he had Jesus. Thought he got rid of him. No more folk gonna be talking about no Jesus now. We got rid of him. So this sheep gate represented a cleansing for the sheep that will come out of the world. That will come out of not the green pasture, but the filth. Sounds like us. You know, I'm glad that I crossed over into the sheep gate. And I'm glad that when the blood was applied to my heart, I can sing glory to his name. That was so fitting to me today. And so the sheep gate was the first gate that they was building. And the sheep was so filthy and raggedy, like some of us was filthy and raggedy. Paul said, look, we had to be washed. He said, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So it had not been for the sheep gate, we'd still be filthy folk. We'd still be out there in the world not knowing how to get ourselves right. So that was the first gate that they built. And the second gate was the fish gate. Jesus represents the gate or the door. It's an entryway and exit. I'm still on the sheep gate. I'm sorry. It's an entry and an exit. It's a way in and it's a way out. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter, any of them sheep enter in, he said, he shall be saved. And when they came in, they showed enough were saved. They were washed. They was clean. When you came in, you were washed. You was clean. And he said, they shall go in and they shall come, go out and find pasture. Not just go in. You be able to go out too and still have the safety of the shepherd over you. And so they built the sheep gate. Then they built the fish gate. That's Nehemiah 3:3. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasaniah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Now, the fish gate was a gate where all the fishermen would come in with their catch. They come in this gate, and so when they come in this gate here, and they got all of their fish, you know, they go to the marketplace and sell them. And so you have people there that's just, you know, you have some of his disciples there. When they're bringing in the fishermen, they bringing in the fish and they looking at the people. They're not interested in the catch, you know. It represents a witness, our evangelistic ministry that we have. And Jesus said, look, come and follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men. So these guys, these people hung around the marketplace, kind of like we're passing. Her fish gate was Walmart. Every time she come in, and she always tell me she got somebody come in from Walmart. So I said, well, Lord, I better start hanging out at the fish gate. I better start going to the stores, hanging out, walking around, looking like I'm going to buy something. So I can talk to somebody. See, a lot of times we don't want to talk to people. And people want to talk to you. God got you out there in the fish gate, but you avoid the fish. I don't know what to say, Lord. I just know this person come and say something to me, but I'm going to go this way. You go around that way, you meet them again. Well, I'm going to go this way. You can't get away from them. He said the fish gate was the place where they came in and they evangelized every fisherman that came in with their catch. He said, come on and follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. He said, y'all casting the nets and you can't find nothing. You don't know how to fish. He said, what is y'all doing? He said, I'm going to teach you and give you the right stuff to catch these fish. Sometimes we just don't know what to say. Sometimes we feel like we ain't got nothing in us. But all you got to do is just stand there at the fish gate. The fisherman, the great fisherman, He'll deposit some things inside of you and will give you what to say. He put that hook in your jaw. He caught you. Man, he's so good. When he caught you and you found out how good his bait was, you didn't want to let go. Say, Lord, I still want to just hang on to this hook. He put a hook in your jaw and said, I'm a real man. You ain't got to reel me. I'm going to flop on in here, Jesus. You know, that's what people want from you. People want you to talk to them. They want your witness. You say, you hang around, you better tell them how good God is, what he's done for you, how he brought you out. That's all Paul was doing. Paul had his testimony. I was on my way to Damascus. I was there to crucify and persecute some saints. But then, I was knocked off my donkey. Then a light shone up on me. And I said, Lord, who is this? He said, this is me, G. Hey, you got your own testimony. When you get out there, get to talking, that kind of stuff, you reeling them in. People don't, they looking at you like, really? Does this really happen? Does this really happen? And when you can tell your own story, boy, it really does something. So this fish gate, it represents the evangelistic ministry that the Lord has given us. It was and it is his love and his mercy, his grace that got us. And it's the same love, his same grace, his same mercy that's going to get the people through you. You're the fisherman. He said, come on, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. So they built that gate. They got the sheep gate going. They got the fish gate going. We getting there, y'all. And so the next gate that they had to build was the old gate. A lot of folk don't like that gate. Nehemiah 3:6. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Pesiah. And y'all forgive me. I'm really carving up these names. And they laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof. So the old gate, it represents, y'all know what the old gate represents, right? That old gate, come on. Y'all heard about old? Old, it represents that old path. See, when Jesus saves you, he caught you and he take you off the path that you were on. A lot of us think that this is the right way, that was the right way that we was going. The Bible tells that there is a way that seemed right to man, but in the end thereof is destruction. So Jesus said, I got to get you. And you got to walk through this old gate. It represents the old path. What did he tell Jeremiah? He said, Jeremiah, look, he said, ask for the old path. Seek it. And walk in it. When you find it, walk in it. Where you find rest for your soul. People ain't got no rest out here in their soul because they're trying to do this new thing. They're trying to go this new way. They're trying to evolve with the world. Well, we know that the world is ever evolving. It's ever changing. And I get on my children and the other ones that would let me get on them. Look, you ain't got no business following the world. This is what the world do. You know, you're supposed to keep what you were trained up to do. You're supposed to follow, keep that old path. This seems so old and old fashioned and you know, they don't want to hear nothing about the old path. Because I know when they get talking about this old stuff, they're going to tell me what I can't do, what I can't drink. I can't go to clubs no more. I can't do nothing. I got to do this and I got to do it that way. They don't want no good sound instruction. They want you to pat them on their back and tell them, go ahead. You can try the world out. You know, just be careful. How are you going to be careful trying out the world? You better stay what your mama and your daddy taught you. You better live right. You better live holy because the world is changing and evolving. We're not supposed to evolve with the world. We're supposed to be resolving. We're supposed to have something inside of us that would tell them, no, this ain't the way you're supposed to go. We're supposed to say, no, you're supposed to be doing this, brother, little sister. You're supposed to be doing that. But they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear you tell them, well, it's okay, you know. It's okay to dibble and dabble. It's okay, you know, to live, you know, and the way you want to live. We got a son that didn't get married. I said, well, you got to be married. You know, you got to complete the thing. You can't start off. You can't be engaged and say, okay, well, we got it started. You got to finish this thing. That's the old way. Now, our rules are still the same. We're still old, what they call holy rollers. We still believe in that old stuff that we were taught. We ain't changed nothing that we were taught. That old stuff that you got to be saved, you got to be married, you got to tie that knot. That's when a lot of folks say, well, I'm already married. Because they say, when you lay together, consummate the marriage. That's what I heard. But I think God is looking for something more than just that. Because you can consummate and consummate, consummate, and you be right on in hell. God looking for you to make a vow. He's looking for you to say something. Lord, I'm going to do this. Lord, I'm going to do. You're looking for God to say something, but God looking for you to make a vow too. Because the moment you make those vows sometimes that's when all hell break through. All hell break through when you say, I will. Yes, I will. So, okay, you will. Let me see. But long as you call yourself consummating, we married, but hey, let something happen to one of them. You ain't going to get nothing. You know, the judge going to say, well, nope. He might have another wife. He might have somebody else that you don't know nothing about. You got to make this thing. God wants you to make this thing official. So you got to get back to the old landmark. You got to get back to the old. We got to live holy. We got to live righteous. We got to train them up in the way that they should go. No matter how they feel like, well, I'm the only one that's left out. My friends are doing this and my brothers are doing it. Don't you worry about them. You keep that which I've committed unto you. You keep that, then you're going to prosper. Because he said he would not withhold any good thing from them that walk upright. You got to walk upright. A lot of folks think they just going to get stuff. Man, you got to do right. You got to live holy. And so a lot of folk don't want that old gate. So they built that old gate, that old way. This is how we going to do this, brothers. We ain't doing it like that no more. That's that old path. We ain't doing all, but we got to get back to praying. We got to get back to fasting like we used to. We got to get back. I was listening to Dr. Charles Stanley last sermon before he passed. And he was talking about fervent prayer. The fervent prayer of the righteous avail it much. He said, how many of us love your children? How many people love your neighbor? How many people love your mama, your daddy, the people that you say you love? But when you get down on your knees or you walk around, you get up morning, you walk around with, Lord, you know, bless pastor, bless my children, Lord. He said, if you love them, like the Lord has told us already, if you love them, you'd be down there crying, pouring out your heart, Lord, save them, Lord. You know, you be down there just really getting with it. You're going to mean what you say and say what you mean. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for some fervent prayers of the righteous. Because they're going to avail much. And he said, that's why a lot of folk don't get their prayers answered. Because they ain't fervent. They got to be fervent. Jesus prayed with fervent. He prayed so fervently that blood came out of his skin, out of his body. We can't have these little bitty wishy-washy prayers. We got to do this thing the way God say do it. We got to hand this thing on over. We got to catch that baton that some of the old saints are trying to pass on it. But we listen to these new preachers that preaching all this prosperity. You shall have and you gonna get. Yeah, but you know what? You got to go through to get to the other side. Pastor preached one time. You gonna have and you gonna get, but you got to go through too. You got to get back the way God said we supposed to live. We got to do it. We got to get back. And so the next gate they built was the Valley Gate. The Valley Gate repaired. Hanan. I'm not going to read it. They said the same thing. They put the locks and the doors on it. See, this Valley Gate. I know what the Valley Gate is. I'm sure now after all of this. We know what the Valley Gate is. This gate we don't like either. We don't like the old gate. We don't like the Valley Gate. But let me remember, that was the first gate that Nehemiah came to. when he saw all of that disarray, all the Jerusalem, he said he was at the valley gate. The valley gate. Man, what's at the valley? What's in the valley? See, the valleys, a lot of folk don't want to go through. See, before you go through, get to these other gates, you got to go through some valleys sometimes. And that's another word people don't like. You got to go through. You got to have some hardships. You got to have some headaches. You got to have all kind of stuff going on. So when you first get saved to God, when you first give your life to the Lord, you get saved, everything is okay. It feels like he answers every prayer that you put up there. You know, it seems like it's a honeymoon. You know, it seems, it does. You know, it's just like, I feel good about my salvation. You go out and start telling everybody, I got saved. And they look at you like, so what? You know, I got saved. I gave my life to the Lord. You know, but you know, a lot of folk don't know that after their honeymoon, your honeymoon could be a week. It can be a month. It can be years. You can still be walking with Jesus brand new right now. You're saved for how long? 30 years. I'm probably still on my honeymoon with the Lord. Because I ain't seen a lot of things that a lot of folk done seen. I ain't been through a whole lot of valleys, but he said after this honeymoon, you got to go through some valleys. You got to get to some low places in your life. And when you get in them low places, a lot of people want to think that they're on top of the mountain. Don't nothing grow on top of the mountain. Don't nothing grow up there. Even the animals know that they live on top of the mountain. Some people live on top of the mountain, but they got to go down to the lowest of the lows to get help. They got to go to the poor folk. Can you help me take care of my mama? Can you help me fix this? Can you help me do that? The animals live on top of the mountain, but they got to get down to the valleys where everything is vibrant. Don't you know you can vibe in the valley? Because Jesus is the lily in the valley. You know, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear no evil. So you're walking in the valley of the shadow of death. When you in the valley, that's when you grow. That's when you learn how powerful. That's when you learn how awesome. That's when you learn how loving and mighty God is. It's in your valleys, not on the mountaintop when everything is going right. In the valley, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear no evil. Why are we so afraid of what's coming up on us? Why are we so afraid? We got to go through some valleys. But in those valleys, we know that that Jesus is the lily. He's there with us in the valley. Because look, every mountain, everybody that exalts himself is going to be brought low. And everybody that humble himself, he going to exalt. So if you want to get to the mountaintop, humble yourself while you're in the valley. Praise God. Worship him with a fervent while you're in the valley. And watch and see, don't you rise up and come out of the valley. But you won't probably go back down because, yes, he is. Brittany, he's the God of the hills and he's the God of the valley. But as sister preached one time, I want to be defeated. I just want to be humble. I want to stay low. You know, I want to be low because he was low. Jesus is, he was lowly. There is no one like the lowly Savior. No, not one. So people don't want to go through the valley. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I won't fear no evil because his rod and his staff, they're with me. They're going to comfort me. And every valley shall be exalted and every mountain shall be brought low because it don't make no difference what we're going through in our lives. You know, we feel like we're in the valley when we're afflicted in our bodies. We feel like we're in the valley when we're broke. We feel like we're in the valley when we ain't got the best of everything. You know, Brother Keith used to sing the song, I may not have the best of everything or be the best of anything. Sometimes I feel like I am the least of all. Have you ever felt like that you're the least of all sometimes? People get up and they get to testifying about what the Lord has done for them. And I'm like, man, Lord, it's been a long time since I stood up and testified about what you've done for me. You know, I'm by myself. Sometimes I feel like I'm in a lonely valley. But God always comes down in that valley. What is man that he is so mindful of him that he come down and visit you in your valley? God loves you. He going to get you up out of your valley. And if he don't bring you out of the valley, he going to bless you in the valley. He going to provide everything you need in the valley with no money, bad credit and all. I ain't telling you not to have good credit, but I'm just telling you, when you're in the valley, God gonna bless you, long as you stay faithful. So folk don't want to go through the valley. They don't want that valley. They don't want the valley game. Everything is good. Everybody want to be on the mountaintop. And the next gate that they built was the Dung Gate. That's Nehemiah 3 and 14. Y'all can read when you get home. So we went through the sheep gate, went through the fish gate. When we first came in the sheep gate, we was horrible. You know, we were scums of the earth. We were low. Got to the fish gate. Somebody evangelized us and said, look, you got to get back to that old path. We went to the old gate. Now we done went through the valley. We still might be in the valley. Some might have came out of the valley. But now we in this Dung Gate. Y'all know what Dung is, right? Well, did you say fast? Yep. Dung. That's waste. Refuse. Mess. So it's so amazing that this temple, I mean this city, Jerusalem, had all these gates, and they had a significant meaning to them. You know, they had to have a place where they can take all of this filth, waste. Can't keep that in the house. Y'all get rid of it. Y'all take out trash, y'all just leave it. Y'all just let it pile up in the kitchen. I take my trash out because it gets to stinking after a while. And that's what this Dung Gate is. It was a place where they took all the refuse, all the waste out of Jerusalem, you know, and got rid of it. And so God is saying, this is what he's got to do to us. He said, because your righteousness is as a filthy rag. He said, he got to get all of this stuff that's in his people out. It's some stuff that's in us. It just don't make, when, if you really fast and pray and you start seeking God for his will and not for God to give you, he's going to start showing you yourself and what's inside of you. And that's what he's trying to get rid of in this Dung Gate. He's trying to get rid of all of this filth, all of this hate, all of this backbiting, some of the saints, like we was talking about this morning, some of them got cliques inside the churches. You got one leader up here, but he want to be a leader. She want to be a leader. He want to be a leader. You got all these four different churches in one building instead of coming together. God trying to break up all of this mess that's in the church. And that's why the churches ain't growing. They still preaching prosperity. We need to prosper as our soul prosper. We need spiritual prosperity. We are broke down with all of this mess that's inside of us. Some don't like this person. Why you say that? And all kind of stuff. It's just so much mess that was in Jerusalem. He said, I got to make me a mess gate. God is trying to get, he's going to get rid of all of this stuff. He's going to cleanse you. David said, purge me. Wash me. Cleanse me and I shall be whiter than snow. Do y'all ever pray that? Lord, cleanse me. I pray it every day. Lord, cleanse me. Wash me. Because I know stuff can come in this old evil heart. And I thank God that he give me the strength sometimes to bridle my tongue. Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth gonna speak. So God is trying to clean up the church, get rid of all of this mess that's in the church so we can thrive. And so we can live an abundant life. And the devil's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. He's putting stuff in people's mind, putting stuff in people's hearts. So they had to build this Dung Gate. They had to get rid of all of the mess, the bitterness. Paul, he writes to the Ephesians in 4:31. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, animosity, resentment, strife, fault finding, slander be put away from you. All that stuff is in the church. Unbelievable. I think he's talking about the Gentiles, the sinners. You can't put that away in no sinner. He talking about the church. Ain't no sinners in Jerusalem. Not in this camp. Uh-uh. It's all saved folk. He said, put this stuff away from you. Get it out of your heart. And the only way we can do it is let God do it for us. We can't do it. It's impossible for us to do it. You got to be washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way you're going to get it out of you. It ain't coming out no other way. And so there are many other gates, the fountain gate, the water gate, and this last gate, verse 31. This was a gate I really had to find out, because it said, verse 31, it says, after him repaired Micaiah, the goldsmith's son, unto the place of the Nethinims and of the merchants over against the gate Mifkad. I'm like, what is this gate? And it says, and going to the going up to the corner. This Mifkad means mustard. Mustard or inspection gate. And so they got this gate, the sheep gate built. They got the fish gate built. They got the old gate. They got the valley gate. And they had this last gate, the dung gate. God trying to clean up the church, what he's trying to do. What I see him trying to do. He says, so he got this, the last gate. They made their rounds. And this last gate, it met up with the sheep gate again. So this last gate, the mustard gate, is an inspection. Mustard means a formal gathering of troops, especially for inspection. Or they say it's like a roll call. So this last gate, in order for you to get back into the sheep gate, because remember, the sheep gate, you go in and you go out. When you come in, you get clean in the sheep gate. But when you go back out, he's sending you out as sheeps unto wolves. So you back out in the world. And so now, here we at the last gate, the inspection gate. When the books, I heard about it, when the books will be open, will your name be found on the roll? You're going to stand before God and you're going to go through a thorough inspection. He going to look you up, look you over. He going to see what you did with his son. And most important thing that God is going to be looking for is some blood. Have you been covered? Have you been washed with the blood of God, with the blood of the Lamb? This gate is the most important, one of the most important gates there is, because you're going to go through a thorough examination like none before. You think your doctor looked you over? You think you got that thorough doctor? Some people pay doctors so I can just see this doctor, because this doctor just thorough. They're going to tell me everything I need to know about my body. Well, God going to tell you everything too, because it's going to be written down. It's going to be on the roll. And so this gate represents an examination. You know, after going through all of that, God going to examine you. Yes, Lord, I went through a whole lot. I went through the valley. I went to the old gate. I didn't last too long. But can I get in the house? Will I be able to make it in? And so this inspection gate is the last gate that you're going to enter in. And it didn't mention that you're going to come right back to the sheep gate. So God is looking for a person, a sheep without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. That's an examination. You can't have not a spot, not a wrinkle, not a blemish, or any such thing. And the only thing that can get that done is the blood of Jesus. Have you been washed this morning? Have you been cleansed this morning? Are you standing, are you ready to stand at the inspection gate? Are you ready to hear what he's got to say and his final analysis? Are you ready to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord, or depart from me, I never knew you. We got to get this thing right, Church of God. We got to get it right, saints. We got to get it right. We got to come through the gates. We got to go through the sheep gate, the fish gate, the old gate. We got to go through all them gates represent Jesus. You can't go through none of them. You can't have none of them except you be born again. And you're going to be examined. You're going to go through some valleys. You're going to hit some rough sides of the mountains while you're trying to come up. But God promised to never leave nor forsake you. He promised to help you up them rough sides of mountains. He promised to be with you in the valley. He promised that. But he going to check you out too, though. He going to check you out and see what sort that you are. He going to make sure that you are a faith believer. He going to make sure that you trusted in him all the way. The race is not given to the swift nor the strong. He want to make sure that you endure to the very end to be examined and say, well done. Enter in. But a lot of folk ain't be able to hear that. A lot of people won't hear that because they on that broad road. They didn't go by the sheep gate. They tell them the sheep gate is so narrow. Sheep got to go in one at a time. That's the narrow road that Jesus said few is going to find that way. But there's a broad way, and wide is the way, and many, many are finding a way today. And folk putting people in heaven, telling them, you know, yeah, I know they made it. I don't know if they made it. I just don't know. But Lord, one thing I do know, that I want to be right. I want to make it in. As the song said, millions didn't make it, but I was one of the ones who did. I want to make sure that I walk this straight and narrow. A lot of folk think that this narrow road, you can just do anything you want to do on this narrow road. No, you can't. Don't let the devil trick you. If Jesus walked that way, the disciples walked that way, no, we ain't perfect. But God is yet perfecting us. In the valley, he's yet perfecting us. On the old, in that old way, he's yet perfecting us. He's yet cleansing us each and every day. That's why David was called a man after his own heart. Here it is, this man conspired to murder, committed adultery, didn't get on his son when his son raped his daughter. He had a lot going on in his house. And he said, Paul said that we're going to receive the sure mercies of David. We was talking about that this morning. The sure mercies of David. Lord, I never knew what the sure mercies was. The sure mercies that you're going to receive the same mercy that David received after all of that junk that David did. But David knew how to repent. He knew how to say, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I messed up. If you decide to destroy me, just destroy me. I mean, you do it. Don't turn me over to the hands of the enemy. You do what you want to do to me. David knew how to repent. We got to repent. We got to repent daily. And so when we stand before God at that inspection gate, that he's going to look you up and down. Is his name in there? Yeah, it says on April the 9th, 2016, that he repented and asked you to forgive him, Lord. And what it says after that? That's it. I'm just saying, I don't know what's in the book. But as long as your name be found in the roll, when they make that roll call, it's going to be a roll call in heaven. Just like there's a roll call here. People looking to see who's at church. That's good. We would that the church fill up. But God is looking for the hearts that's seeking after him. His will. He wants his perfect will to be done. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. He said, I've set an open door before you. That gate that no man can shut. So you can walk through any of them gates that you want to. It's open. Why? Is anybody here not ready for the inspection gate? Is anybody here that's not ready for the muster gate? Does anybody need to go back through the sheep gate? So this gate, it wound up to the last gate, to the first gate. So you can't get in that gate no more unless you pass the inspection. Started off with the sheep gate, ended up with the sheep gate. You came through it, you got to go through it again. We got to go through that sheep gate one more time. After you've been inspected by God, what did you do while you were here on earth? How did you live this life? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the door. If any man come to me, he will go in and out and find pasture. God is looking for those that need and want to be saved. Every soul need to be saved. But there's some souls that really want to be saved. That's out there in the valley, don't think they can get out of the valley. Don't think that they can walk that old walk that the old saints used to walk. Yes, you can. Some of them are walking their walk anyway and don't even realize that they're doing what the old saints used to do. But the moment you tell them about, you say something about the old way, it causes them to think and get distraught and get off. So a lot of young people out there, a lot of people out there that's living real good, but they're lacking one thing. They have not come through the sheep gate. They have not accepted the Lord as their Savior. And that's the only way to get clean. You can't be clean by your own righteousness. You know, so many people thinking that because they do right. You know, Mr. and Mrs. Do Good. You know, I ain't done nothing. I ain't break the law. People get behind me. They honk their horn because I do the speed limit. I don't break no law. One law that people are breaking every day is not believing in Jesus and the pardon of their sins. And you cannot have no rest. You won't have no rest without that. I'm talking about rest today and an eternal rest. There is a rest after this rest. So is there anybody need to be brought back to the sheep gate today? Anybody want to come back through? Anybody ain't came through? The gate, he said, I set an open door before you. It's open. It ain't closed yet. It's still open. There's still room at the cross today. Anybody want to be renewed today? Nobody wanted to be renewed. I know people here are saved. We got a very few people here, but I'm going to extend the offer to those that are watching. If anybody's watching, if you want to be saved, all you got to do is confess your sin and believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God did raise him up from the dead. And Paul said, the Bible says, you shall be saved. Just as simple as that. Be baptized. Be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and in Jesus' name. Just to cover it all. But Jesus saves. Baptism doesn't save you. Jesus saves. His blood covers you when you get examined. The Father gonna see the blood and destruction, judgment is gonna pass over you. God bless you this morning. These gates have such a significance. Go home and read them and study them. It really blew my mind about the valley gates. Lord, why you put all these gates in this place? All of them lead to our Savior. He's that sheep gate. He's that old gate. You know, Jesus is just everything. There'll be nothing else. Anybody need prayer? Anybody want to stand and proxy for somebody? Nobody need prayer. Well, let us stand and dismiss. He promised to be with us through these gates. That old gate. I like the valley gate. Sometimes it seems like I stay in the valley. But I know that when I'm in the valley, he is with me. Always with me. Father, I thank you for this word, Lord God. I've given, God, what you have given me, Lord God. And I vow, Lord God, to stay, God, in this book, Nehemiah, Lord God. Because, God, I believe, God, you're trying to build this church, Lord. You showed me, Lord God, on Wednesday that there was a battle ram. The enemy was just banging and banging on the doors. Big old rough piece of wood. And, Lord, you spoke to me and you said the gates of hell should not prevail against it. You told Peter, Peter, up on this rock, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against. Up on this rock, this church that you're building, Lord G, not trying, you're building it, Lord God. You're putting things back in order, God. You put the gates back there, Lord God, so we can get the folk to walk through the gates, Lord God. Let them know that they got to go through some valleys, that they got to go back to that old path, God, that they got to be washed in your blood, Lord Jesus, and they're going to be examined in the end, Lord God. But, Lord God, these are the ones, God, that are going to be presented to you. And, Jesus, you said all that the Father has given you, you have lost none. And we believe that you won't lose any, Lord. And we thank you for the word today, God. And I pray, Father God, that this word fell on good ground, Lord God. I pray, God, that somebody, God, was encouraged concerning, God, the gates. I thank you and I praise you, Lord God. Watch over us, Father God, as we leave this place, God. As we depart from one another, God, but never from your presence, Lord. Be with us, Lord, until we meet again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.